Let's pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, thank you for your presence here this morning. And thank you for inviting the weary and the burdened to come to you and to find true rest. Lord, as we open your word today, teach us the simplicity of following you. Help us surrender to your yoke and remind us that your heart toward us is gentle and humble. Lord, draw us closer to you today and give rest to our souls. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us this morning. Push me out of the way and speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, well, we're going to talk about the yoke of Christ today. I'm sure all of you, if not most of you, have heard of the yoke of Christ. We're going to be kind of hanging out in Matthew 11 for the majority of this morning. The yoke of Christ is a cool thing. I feel like my batteries are dying on this thing. Does it keep cutting in and out? No? Okay, cool. But, you know, when we think of, you know, like the culture or where we're at, right, you know, you can order groceries from your couch, right? Netflix is like seemingly unlimited of movies and shows. You got all of these different things at your fingertips, all these different gadgets that you know somebody has invented and created to make our life easier. And in fact, I believe it makes it so much more cumbersome, right? All the stuff that we have just access at our fingertips, right? You can, you know, you'd order, you know, whatever you want, basically from a phone or an iPad or whatever you've got. But that's not the end of our story, right? All these different things. It's not where the end is, right? Our ending is much greater than that. And it's really just going to be the beginning. You know, like I said, our passage today is going to teach us how we can really find true contentment in Jesus, right? When we are yoked to him and we can find that rest. And Psalm 62 verse 1 says, I am at rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. I mean, we could literally just stop there, right? Like, my rest comes from God and God alone, right? Meaning that's all we need. We just need him to have this rest that he's talking about. Our salvation comes from him. And Dan Ortlund stated it this way, meek, humble, gentle. Jesus is not trigger happy, not harsh, reactionary, easily exasperated. He is the most understanding person in the universe. The posture most natural to him is not a pointed finger, but open arms. Open arms. And those same open arms have been welcoming people for over 2,000 years, right? He's not doing this number, right? No, he's doing this. Come to me, all who are heavy laden and burdened, and I'll give you rest. That's something to really focus on this morning as we go through the message. So I'm going to start in Matthew 11, starting in verse 16, and it says this, to what should I compare this generation? It's like children sitting in marketplaces who call out to other children. We played the flute for you, but you didn't dance. We sang a lament, but you didn't mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. Then we jump to verse 25. It says, at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed to them infants, or them to infants. Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure. All things have been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone whom the Son desires to reveal him. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, Jesus uses this really powerful metaphor really to kind of communicate the nature of him, right? Of what he does for us, the relationship that we have with Jesus. We talk about being yoked with him. You know, if you're unfamiliar with a yoke, it's basically, you know, a big old piece of wood that basically locks two animals together so they can work in unison, right? And it takes the full burden off of one, and it kind of equals it out between the two of them. It makes things much more efficient, right? That's what Jesus is asking us to do with him. It makes it a lot easier to accomplish, you know, the tasks that, you know, these oxen were doing, being yoked together, right? And same way with us, when we're yoked with Jesus, it makes things a whole lot easier, a whole lot easier. You know, when we think about yoking, there's also something that we have to take into consideration, that is submission, right? We have to submit to this yoke, right? We, you know, Jesus gives us all these things. He gives us his grace freely, his love freely. He gives us all these things, but there's also some action that we have to take as followers of Jesus, right? We can't be yoked with him and then, hey, you know, let me go check out what's going on behind us instead of moving forward with you, Jesus, right? That yoke is just not going to work out, right? And who's more powerful, you or Jesus? Jesus, right? So Jesus is just going to continue to push. And we're just going to eventually break loose from the yoke. And we don't want that. Submission isn't a sign of weakness or defeat, but it's an acknowledgement that we need him, that we need him. We need his wisdom. We need his guidance. We need him to lead us. You know, we can recognize that we can't navigate all of the complexities of our life on our own, right? I don't know how many here have tried to do that. I have, and I have failed 100% of the time. Batting 1,000 trying to do it on my own. Right? In the wrong way, right? When I have Jesus, things are so much easier. You know, when we submit to the yoke, we're aligning our will with his will. Not his will with our will, but our will with his will, meaning whatever his will is, that's what we end up changing our will to. Right, we're not trying to get him to change for us, but we need to change for him. Proverbs 3 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your paths straight." You know, if you think, you know, a lot of people don't like the word submission, right? So just think of it as a partnership. If you're not a fan of submission, I don't think you shouldn't be a fan of submission, because that's what we want to do, right? We want to submit ourselves to Jesus. But if you think of it as a partnership, right, you got two partners, you got two people, and you want to be able to move in the same direction and continue to focus on what he's trying to show us and do what he's called us to do. And we can't do that if we're not in a partnership with him. When we take on the yoke of Jesus, we're entering into that partnership. And we're not passive recipients of his grace and his love, right? There's things that we have to do. We have to be active participants in the work that he's called us to do. It's so critical. We have to be responsive to his promptings and willing to step out when he leads us. Right, and I can tell you when he tells you, hey, you need to go do this, you know, when you have that nudging of the Holy Spirit, man, it can be kind of weird, right? It's like, yeah, I get that. That makes some sense, but I'm just not ready yet. Oh, man, we got to put all that stuff aside. Remember when we talked last week about, you know, holding on to the stuff, being anchored to the past? We got to let all that stuff go and move forward. That's what it means to be yoked with Jesus. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." So it also means that we can rely on his strength and his power to sustain us. You know, I mean, you guys know kind of my life story over the past 90 days or whatever it's been. This has been kind of a hard concept to practice. When I messaged a friend of mine this morning. I said, "Man, I really hope I can practice what I preach today." Right? I mean, because sometimes, I can tell you for me, I despise giving somebody else my burdens. Hate it. That's something I'm working on in therapy, right? But I hate it because I hate being a burden. I hate giving somebody, "Hey man, I've really got this problem going on with me right now. Can you just kind of, you know, help me work through it, or you know, or maybe pray about this?" Or I've been here for a while. I think I've asked for prayer for myself maybe twice, right? It's a weird wall that I got to figure out how to break down, right? And I know how to do it. I just need to get it to work up here, right? Beautiful reality is, as we submit to Jesus and we partner with him for the work of the kingdom, we'll be changed. We'll be changed. And that's the part that maybe holds us back a little bit, because sometimes change is hard, and sometimes change is painful, and sometimes change is just messy, right? We don't want to do that. Like, "Oh man, I'm kind of comfortable right where I'm at. I'm not a big fan of changing." No, but when we're yoked to him, we're going to have no choice but to change because of him. Transformation isn't always easy or comfortable, but it is essential to our growth and to our maturity in our relationship with Jesus. Because what's our whole goal, right, is to be disciples that make disciples. And we can't do that if we're not yoked with Jesus. We can't do it effectively if we're not yoked with Jesus. As we are conformed more into his image, we'll find that the yoke becomes easier and it becomes lighter. Because we're becoming more and more and more like Jesus. And I think we might even use this passage last week, but Romans 8:29 says, "For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." The part of that passage I want you to focus on is conformed to the image of his son. You know, in the end, the yoke of Christ is a reminder of the intimacy and closeness that he desires with us, and that we should desire with him. You know, when two animals are yoked together, they're in constant contact with each other, right? You picking up what I'm putting down? When we are yoked with Jesus, we're in constant contact with him. We are always with him, he with us. So, I mean, how is that a bad thing, right? That is so awesome when we are yoked with Jesus 100% of the time. Right? There's nothing bad about that. It is actually a really awesome place to be. And that's where we all want to be, right? That intimacy isn't something that we can manufacture or something that we can earn, but it is this free gift that he has given to each one of us, right? Because of what he did on the cross for all of us. You know, as we take on the yoke of Christ, we will discover ultimately that it is easy and it is light, right? I mean, maybe like I'll tell you right now, like I'm trying very hard to remain yoked with Jesus in this season of my life. And when I tell you that it is light and easy, it is, but it's also heavy and hard, because what's happening to me? He's changing me through this season. I am being pretty dramatically changed. You might not see it, you know, on a Sunday morning or whatever, but I can tell you in like my everyday life, completely changed. I'm a completely different person. Like a few, like friends of mine, right? Like, man, you were just so different, right? Priorities are different. A lot of things are different because I am maintaining this yoked relationship with Jesus. And the yes, the yoke is light. And sometimes it's really easy. But when he's transforming us, right, that can be a little difficult. That can be what makes us want to kind of break away from the yoke a little bit. Like, this is starting to get uncomfortable. Not a big fan, right? That's growth. That's transformation. That's what he's doing to us every single day. We just have to maintain that yoke with him. You know, there's in a world that presents us with complex and confusing messages, really the call to be yoked and follow Jesus is really pretty simple. It's not to be mistaken for a lack of depth or richness, but instead an invitation to experience this really profound beauty of having a relationship with Jesus. Anybody who has a relationship with Jesus, I would say all of you have this relationship. You would agree that it is one of, if not the, it should be the best and most beautiful relationship that you have. Jesus doesn't require us to have all the answers or be perfect before we approach him. Praise God, right? Because we'd all be hosed. Right? If we waited until it was the perfect opportunity, or if we thought we were, you know, perfect enough to be able to go into his presence, we would still be waiting. But that's not what he calls us to do. Instead, he very specifically in our passage says, all those who are what? Heavy, or you're burdened and weary. And what does he do? He opens his arms and said, hey, come here. I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to give you rest. That's a powerful reminder that we don't need to earn our way into a relationship with Jesus. We come to him. We come to him with our brokenness, our questions, our anxiety, all the different things that we have going on in our life. We come to him with those. And what does he tell us to do? Just lay it at the foot of the cross. Just give it to me. Give it to me. That's what we need to do. That's 100% what we need to do. John 6:37 says, everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will never cast out. So his message is clear. You know, he often uses parables and illustrations to convey deep spiritual truths that were accessible and easy to understand. He didn't speak in riddles or in languages that, you know, language that we didn't understand, right? No, he spoke very clearly. You don't have to deal with any type of, you know, complexities or, you know, theological debates or doctrinal discussions or anything like that. No, he's very clear. Mark 12:37 says, David himself calls him Lord. How then can he be his son? And the large crowd was listening to him with delight. So the simplicity of Jesus' message allows us to focus on the essential truth of the gospel without getting lost in any of the junk, right? Any of the complex things that we might think about. No, his message is very simple. Jesus calls us to a life of love, service, and humility. And he teaches a relationship with God and to care for others as we care for ourselves. And this profound way of living stands in stark contrast to what the world says we should do, right? The world's not a big fan of, you know, in large part of us wanting to follow Jesus and to be more like him every single day. But it's absolutely critical that we do. You know, the world will think, you know, self-promotion or you know, money or material things or whatever is what shows the, kind of your status or whatever. No, the only status that I want in my life is that cross, and what that cross stands for, what Jesus did on that cross. Jesus instructed his followers to go and make disciples, right? To go and make disciples of all nations. Matthew 28, verse 19 through 20, you're very familiar with this. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Very straightforward message, right? Very straightforward of what he's called us to do, to go and make disciples. That is our mission as this church. That should be, as the church universal, that should be the mission, is to go and make disciples of all people. How do we do that? By being yoked with Jesus, right? To not hold on to the burdens that we have, the struggles that we have. Like, we're all going to have them, right? Just like last week, we got to remove the anchor and move forward with the yoke of Jesus. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And renowned theologian Pastor Charles Spurgeon said it this way, the gospel is so simple that small children can understand it. And it is so profound that studies by the wisest theologians will never exhaust its riches. That's a pretty cool quote. It captures the essence of the simplicity of following Jesus, right? Young children can understand the message. It's a call to embrace the faith. Right, that what he has given us, this free gift that he has given us, let's embrace it. And how do we embrace it? By getting onto the yoke with him. So we embrace the simplicity of Jesus' teaching and living out his call to love, serve, and share our faith. I promise you, you will experience an incredible amount of joy. An incredible amount of joy and fulfillment that will only come when we are walking in tandem, yoked to Jesus. Like, we all have, like, joy, right? There's things that bring us joy. But when we're talking about just, like, the depths of your soul, like, true, amazing joy, you will only get that when you're yoked with Jesus. Our passage for today, Jesus extends this invitation to all who labor and are heavy laden, and he promises to give rest. It's not merely a physical or emotional, but a deep soul level rest. And I don't know how many of you may have been tired, just like exhausted, just drained, right? And he calls you to him and says, I will give you rest. Like last night, right, I've had a really good few weeks, right? My therapist is on vacation, so I haven't seen him for a couple weeks. That's kind of been a problem. But I've been doing pretty well. But Amanda's in Grand Forks, Genevieve and Amanda are in Grand Forks visiting a friend. So I was just at home by myself in my brain. What happens? You just start thinking, right? You just start thinking that, the only thing that needs to happen is there needs to be a little bit of just a teeny tiny, even a microscopic crack in one of your thoughts, and then the enemy will just start attacking and attacking and attacking and attacking. Right? So I'm laying in bed. I look at my clock. Oh, 1:07 a.m., but I'm still trying to fall asleep. And the only thing I can think of is, man, I'm preaching about how Jesus is going to give us rest. Yet I can't get these, these intrusive thoughts or whatever you want to call them just out of my mind. I just can't turn my brain off. So I just prayed again. I said, God, just take him. This is the enemy just trying to attack me because I'm getting closer and closer and closer and closer to you every single day. Shut him off. I'm over it. I don't know what time I fell asleep. It was shortly after 1:07 this morning, right? That's what happens when we're yoked. And by the way, when we're yoked with Jesus, what does that mean? That means we're getting closer to him. We're becoming more and more like him every single day. So what's going to happen? We're going to be attacked every single day. Every single day that we get closer and closer to him, the enemy is going to, you know, drum up his army, and he's going to try to do something to thwart our progress with Jesus, the growth that we're having with him. Don't let him. Stay yoked. Stay yoked with him. To fully understand the blessing of resting in Jesus, we have to remember the metaphor of the yoke he's offering. So to be yoked is to be submitted to him, to be in partnership with him, to walk in tandem with him, to be focused on him and not anything else. It means we'll be in close proximity to him. Right? We'll be moving together in the direction that he is leading, not in the direction that we're trying to go on our own. And one of the most amazing things we'll learn is that Jesus is gentle and lowly in heart. You know, in a world that often, you know, reveres, you know, power and prestige and all these different things, you know, Jesus comes to us gentle and lowly because that's what he is, right? He's humble. He's the Savior of the world. He died for you and he died for me. I'd say that's pretty humble. As we learn about Jesus and learn from him and grow in a relationship with him, we'll discover that his way of life brings true rest and peace to our souls. 100%. 1,000%. That is a factual statement. When we are yoked with him, he will give us rest. I don't know about you, but I need some rest. Probably more so now than I have probably in my entire life. And I'm so thankful that I can be yoked with him and that he can give me the rest that I so desperately need. And the amazing truth is a daily reality that we can choose to embrace. Each day, we have an opportunity to lay down our burdens and our anxieties, our concerns, all of these things. We have an opportunity. It doesn't cost you a nickel. It's 100% free. We have an opportunity every single day to just give it to him. To just give it to him every single day. And we have to trust him enough that he's capable of carrying it. And I can tell you, spoiler alert, he is. He is absolutely capable and willing to carry these burdens that we have. 1 Peter 5:7 says that we must cast all of our cares on him because he cares about you. He cares about you. Why else would he take the sin of the entire world on his shoulders if he didn't care about us? No, he cares about us. We'll find our souls are refreshed, our spirits are renewed, and our hearts are filled with gratitude and praise. You know, in this confused and chaotic world, you have to admit the blessing of resting in Jesus is a precious, precious gift that we cannot overlook. We can't overlook this. As we choose to take his yoke upon us, learn from him and walk in step with him, we'll discover the true rest that our souls need. And that rest, we'll find strength. We'll find hope. We'll find joy. Right? Because all good things come from God. Right? So all of these things that we long for, that we need, they all come from him. And what better way to receive those, to truly receive those, than to be yoked with Jesus. So how have you been walking with Jesus? Right? How have you been walking with him? What does your proximity to him look like? Are you yoked with him? Are you kind of holding on with your fingertips, trying to make the decision, ooh, maybe I should just stay back a little bit? No, what does it look like? How close are you to him on a daily basis? Some of us today this might be an obvious place to apply the passage. Now we need to get closer to Jesus, right? Just plain and simple, we need to get closer to Jesus every single day. Maybe that's where the application for you this morning is. Maybe some of us need to recognize the pace we've been running isn't giving us the rest that we need. Right? We're always go, 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 go. That was one of my problems, right? I used busyness as a badge of honor, and in fact, it was really just destroying my life, right? So that is a big thing that I have changed that you probably don't see very often, but I am not a very busy person anymore, right? I got time to do flooring yesterday, and now my back is really mad at me, right? But like when we allow busyness to control our lives, you know, Jesus isn't in a hurry, right? Like there is a sense of urgency for those who don't know him to enter into a relationship with him, right? So when you leave, go share Jesus, right? There is a sense of urgency for that, but Jesus isn't in a hurry to get from point A to point B, right? Because if we just sprint somewhere, we might not learn what he's trying to teach us. And I can tell you, over the past 90 days, I have wanted to sprint a lot. I didn't want to be yoked with him because I wanted to get to point Z very quickly. I'm on point B because he's in no hurry, because he is teaching me a whole lot about a whole lot. But I can only learn that and recognize that and actually change what he's telling me to change because I'm continuing to be yoked with him. So what does it look like for you? What does it look like and feel like to receive this rest? That's what I want to leave you with this morning is what does it look like? What do you need to change in your own life to be yoked with Jesus every single day? And as we consider the truths that we've talked about this morning, Matthew 11:19 called Jesus a friend to tax collectors and sinners. He is a friend. He's not an enemy. He's not an enemy. He wants the best for all of us. All of us. He wants the best. And there's no better place to be than what? Yoked with Jesus every day. That's how we get from point A to eternity. Right, as we just have to continue to be yoked with him every single day. And like I said, his yoke is light and it's easy. But sometimes in the midst of plowing, things can be tough. And that's just him teaching us what he's trying to teach us. So embrace it. Embrace the pain, the struggle, all the things. Right, it took me a while, probably 70 days or so, to start embracing all of this. So I'm still a newbie, right? I'm only about 20 days into really appreciating and recognizing the magnitude of what he's done in my life over the past 90 days. And I'm thankful for it, even though it has not been fun at all. I am incredibly grateful for all that he's taught me so far, and I know he's got a whole lot more to teach me. And the same is true for you. So yoke yourself with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your invitation to walk closely with Jesus and to find rest that this world, this culture can't provide. Lord, help us lay down the burdens, those burdens that we were never meant to carry alone, and submit to Jesus' loving leadership and live at peace. Peace that comes from staying close to him, to being yoked with him, this peace, this rest. God, as we leave here this morning, allow us to be refreshed and surrendered and ready to follow Jesus with greater trust, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.